Episode 21, 9/11 Dreads Podcast. This week, we talk Valentine's Day, the dark history, and a couple movies you guys may have seen, as well as
this week's SMF.
That's right. Let's get this party started. Here we go. Episode 21. I just surprised the hell out of, you'll know, I am Otis B. Dredd.
I am Malice Murphy.
And I surprised the hell out of him because I just, you know, normally, I'm going to admit, normally Malice will certainly testify to the fact that I get nervous every podcast. Now, before I get off on a rant, I just want to say this is the Night of the Living Dreads podcast, and nightoflivingdreads.com is where you can find Malice and myself, as well as on Facebook, Night of the Living Dreads on Facebook. You know someplace else, Malice, that people can find us? Do you know where that's at?
Gorehounds.
Gorehounds of Horror. That's right. Gorehounds of Horror on Facebook. You know, this has got it. I'm not going to try and take credit for anything, but I mean, I kind of blurted it out on one of their, you know, little PSAs and announcements that they have over there at Gorehounds. But this is, and I believe it in my heart, this is the best damn horror group on Facebook. Gorehounds of Horror. You can find Malice and myself over there. You can find a lot of people who have probably just as strong of a passion for horror as, you may, if you are not a member over there. So go check them out over there. And I'm going to tell you what, Malice, I just came across another Facebook group that is horror-based. And it's a group that actually has worked with the admins and moderators over there at Gorehounds of Horror to do a little cross-sharing and sharing each other's, you know, groups. They're going to promote Gorehounds on their group, and, you know, Gorehounds is, you know, going to promote, you know, they can promote their group on Gorehounds is what I'm trying to say here. That group being After Dark on Facebook, and I just recently became a member over there. So, you know, they're a little bit smaller than Gorehounds, but that means nothing because Gorehounds was at the same, you know, number of members at one time. So that's really nor here nor there. So After Dark on Facebook. Another good horror group that I just became a member of. Of course, Gorehounds of Horror. How's your week been, man?
Pretty fucking lazy. Pretty lazy. Just been sitting at home playing video games and watching movies.
Nice. What movies you been watching, man?
I watched Day of the Dead. I watched Return of the Living Dead. Mm-hmm. I found the complete series of Tales from the Crypt.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. That's old school right there.
I watched Bride of Chucky.
Wow. You were just binge-watching shit. And because you do landscaping, and the weather's kind of been, well, the grass isn't growing, for one.
Right.
And, you know, we've had periods of snow here and there. So, you know, I guess work's been, you know, a little on the light side. So you've had a lot of time just to sit around and, you know, binge watch. Well, sounds like you got some good taste there, my friend.
I would hope so. I'm on a horror podcast. I hope I like horror.
I hope I like horror. Right, right. I mean, it is kind of a, you know, requirement. So, what video games you been playing, man?
Dude, I'm addicted to the GTA 5.
Oh, yeah.
I love that game.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Hockey, like sports games, UFC, Gran Turismo.
Pretty much all the games that I don't really play a whole lot other than, you know, maybe GTA. And I don't play that a whole lot, but, you know, I do play, you know, I'm a big baseball fan, so... I play a lot of MLB The Show 18 until the new one comes out, and I'll play that probably for the next year, and until the, you know, the new one comes out. But yeah, I watched, you know, a few movies this week myself, Malice, before we, you know, really dive into you know, the show tonight. I watched Havenhurst. Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
You have not.
I remember you talking to me about it.
Yeah, and it's not a really bad flick. I really enjoyed this, actually. And I was kind of on the fence at first, okay? And then there was a reference to a serial killer that we covered in a previous podcast early on in our podcasting career. That being of one H.H. Holmes. And in the movie, they make a, you know, reference to, you know, the... I don't want to spoil the movie. I'll just put it that way, you know. I don't really want to get into this rant about it. All I'm saying is that there's a connection with H.H. Holmes. Not that it's factual. It's a, you know, fucking movie. Okay. But it's you know, that's what really grabbed me. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And now I can understand a lot more of this movie given that reference. So if you haven't seen Havenhurst, you can find it on Netflix. I'm pretty sure you can find it on Netflix. I think that's where I watched it. But at any rate, yeah, it's a good flick. I recommend that. So I watched that. I don't remember every other movie that I watched, to be honest with you. And I played, you know, a lot of baseball, and, you know, I worked all week. So, you know, it was a pretty normal week for me. Speaking of, you know, this week we're going to, you know, was, you know, just a few days ago, Valentine's Day. Now, being horror fans, you know, we tend to look at, you know, certain movies or whatever that may, and, you know, honestly, the whole holiday horror movies all kind of originated from Halloween. I mean, am I wrong in saying that? Because, you know, there wasn't even any movie before that even had Halloween in the title. Now, I don't know if there were any holiday movies that preceded, you know, is that the right word?
I haven't got a clue. I'm going to say it is.
No, oh, it sounds good. If not, I just made that came before Halloween. I don't know. But I know that Halloween started kind of a roller coaster, a snowball effect of all these horror movies coming out that centered around holidays. This being, you know, just a few days ago, Valentine's Day. Of course, My Bloody Valentine has to pop into everyone's head that's a horror fan. So later on in the show, after we take a break, later on the show, we're going to discuss the original that came out in 1981, and then we're going to discuss the one that we both watched tonight, that being you know, My Bloody Valentine from 2009. And we're going to, you know, compare and contrast. those two. And I know you got a lot to say about it. I got a lot to say about it. But without further ado, how about we get into this week's SMF?
Oh, you sick motherfucker!
So, Malice, who is this week's SMF?
Pee-wee. No, not Herman. I'm talking about Donald Pee-wee Gaskins, born 1933 in Florence, South Carolina. This sick motherfucker was convicted of 9 different murders, but had claimed to do over 110.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too.
You know, Pee-wee's life of crime started as a child/teenager with a small group of friends. He committed crimes that included robbery, assault, and gang rape.
Yeah, and I heard the gang rape thing. He was about, you know, like right around 11, 12 years old.
Yeah, this was
pre-teen.
Yeah,
that I heard. Now, you know, maybe, you know, but yeah, that's one sick motherfucker right there.
Yeah. Oh, it gets a lot worse than that.
Tell us more. Tell me more. Tell me more. Did he get very far? Sorry.
Some would say that, you know, his murderous and violent life started from when he drank a bottle of kerosene at the age of 1.
1 year old. Wow.
That, like, his whole childhood was just one big, you know,
they said
stream of neglect.
Yeah, and I think they even said that he had, you know, he would have some sort of, like, blackouts or seizures.
Convulsions,
Convulsions, yeah.
Until he was 3 years old.
3, yeah. And actually, yeah, and, you know, that had some kind of effect on his brain that made him into the Pee-wee we now know and love.
Right, and it even said that, you know, he didn't even know his first name was Donald.
Right.
Until he was about 8 years old,
yeah.
And he appeared in court for some random crime that he had committed in the town.
That's crazy. Tell me more. Tell me more.
So, you know, with drinking the kerosene and, you know, he went to reform school. That was his punishment for his role in the crime spree that he had committed with his friends, in addition to the last one that they were actually arrested for, which was gang rape.
Mm.
And in this reform school, you know, he was attacked and raped on a regular basis. And he, you know, escaped from there. And, you know, he had got married while he escaped and eventually went back and served his time.
He had nothing better to do but just, what, to get married.
Yeah, let me get out of here and go get hitched.
Right.
And this is still like,
I ain't got enough problems.
As a teenager, you know, so, you know, he escaped from reform school, pretty much kiddie prison,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, went, got hitched, and then came back and served the rest of his sentence until he was 18.
What happened when he was 18?
I don't know.
He did some really horrible shit.
Yeah, he definitely did.
He did.
One of his first arrests as an adult, you know, was for hitting a teenage girl with a hammer for insulting him.
I don't mean to laugh, but it's just like one of those crazy things. Yeah, because what wasn't it? He was in the car with her, or he was in some kind of interaction with her, and he wanted to have sex with her. Was this the same person? He wanted to have sex with her, and I don't know if she, you know, made a comment about his height, because this is a very short guy. I don't know if you mentioned it. This guy didn't stand, you know.
He wasn't taller than 5'2".
Yeah, some say 5'4", but 5'4" is still short for a guy.
Yeah.
Okay, he was a little guy, so maybe he had little man syndrome, and You know, on steroids, mind you. But I heard that, he, you know, kind of came on to this girl, wanted to have sex with her, and, you know, she declined or made a reference about his height or him, period, insulted him, what he felt was an insult, and hit her in the head with a hammer. Was that the one where he threw it across the room?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he ended up getting 6 years in prison after that. And during this time that he spent in prison, he was being attacked and raped.
Well, let me jump in because you said he did 6 years for that. What I read was he actually got 5 years for that, but they tacked on another year because he threatened a CO's life, one of the guards' life, and got an extra year for that. But okay. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, because a lot...
I think I seen that in one of the documentaries that I was watching.
Right, right. A lot of things, you know, it's like a lot of what he even says cannot be confirmed with physical evidence.
Correct.
Let's just make that note. But please continue, Malice.
So, but during this time in prison, he was being raped and attacked, and they say that, you know, he got his first, prison killing where he earned his bones.
Right.
By killing his attacker, Hazel Brazel.
Wait a minute, was he in a co-ed prison? I mean, is there actually a dude out there named Hazel?
If there was, and he was raping people, like.
But, or is that why he was in prison for killing a Hazel Brazel? Or he killed this person in prison?
He killed this person in prison, Hazel Brazel, for raping him. And it said that he only got additional, 3 years for murder.
In prison?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it gets worse, folks.
So, you know, he has all these different types of... victims. He has, random hitchhikers, which they called coastal killings, because he would travel a lot, along the coast,
right,
and would just pick up random hitchhikers, and he would claim that he would, kill about one person every month, but he would torture them, keep them alive for like a day or two and torture them again, mm-hmm. and then finally kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And some would say, or it was even claimed that he, actually one of his claims, that he even ate a couple of his victims.
Wow, yeah. Because this person, ladies and gentlemen, was actually brought up during the break. Well, Pee-wee was brought up during the break of last week's episode. Because Malice looked at me, he was like, oh, I have next week's SMF. Because he's already looking into it. You wouldn't believe this guy. It's like he was doing a book report in high school over here. so, yeah, this is a guy Malice is looking a little bit into. And, you said, he would drive, now this was in, the South Carolina, North Carolina, type area. Okay, and there are some beaches there in North Carolina, South Carolina, or I don't know about South, but North. What did he used to drive?
A hearse.
This guy drove a old, it looks like maybe a late 50s, early 60s model of a hearse. And what would he tell people?
Well, he told everyone he was, I haul bodies around in this hearse, And he goes, I got my own little graveyard.
Yeah. And he was not lying.
No, he was. He had a bunch of different graveyards.
But people didn't take him seriously.
No.
When he told them, look, this I hauled dead bodies in this thing. And they're like, well, you drive a hearse. I see what you're doing there. Okay, I'm picking up what you're laying down kind of thing, Didn't take him serious, but he was.
And that, it's absurd, given his past, killing someone in prison and, the violent crimes that he committed as a child and
right.
a teenager. And he made these claims and
no one took him seriously.
Right. It's like.
His own daughter said that she actually believes that her father. Pee-wee was literally born to kill. That was like his thing. He loved killing things as she was growing up. He noticed that whether it be, animals, whether it be, and then he would talk to her about, these things. But please, what else do you have for us, Malice?
No one was, off limits. He killed, relatives. He killed one of his nieces and one of her friends, after raping them, and then he murdered them both. Associates that he had, once he felt like there was no longer a use for them, or like they might try to blackmail him. Or,
right, there was a trust issue. Right. Yeah, he wouldn't just, you know, not associate with them. He wouldn't just fire them or whatever, like, you know. No, he'd kill them. That was it.
And even so that he was a contract killer.
Yeah. And here's the weird thing. In and out of prison.
His entire life, in and out.
Entire life. But he was a contract killer in prison as much as he was outside of prison.
Right. That in and out of prison, escape from prison.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they never thought to lock this dude up for life from the fucking get-go.
Right.
And, you know, all they did was just like, you know, what I would consider slap on the wrist, giving him parole, you know, not, you know, keeping him locked up for life, just after escaping from prison. I thought that was a pretty serious offense, right? You know?
And here's, I don't know if we're far enough in this story yet. What else do you have for us on this guy? You know,
other than the fact that he was a pedophile,
yes,
and there was some really heinous crimes that he.
I think you're getting ready to talk about what I was going to mention, is that the baby incident.
Well, yeah, he murdered a woman.
Before you get into the baby incident, I just want to warn listeners. This is you know, this may put an image in your head you may not want. This is some pretty heinous shit that we're going to discuss right here.
So, I would say this is probably one of the worst crimes that he committed.
That even we've talked about, I think, in some of the other serial killer episodes, you know, that you can find over there at nightlivingdreads.com. You know, I don't know, because I saw, you know, some pictures of what this, you know, baby looked like. We're not talking a toddler here, ladies and gentlemen, at least to my understanding.
About 2 years old.
She was almost
2 years old.
Almost.
Mother, she was, I believe she was in her 20s, but she was also 8 months pregnant, which he drowned her. And the story that I read and then what I had seen, that he raped the 2-year-old and then hit her in the head with an axe, and said that he just couldn't resist himself, that he felt like he had to rape her.
And I also want to add, as gruesome and as heinous as this is, he was also said to have said it, raping this small child was, quote, the best fuck I ever had, end quote. That's a sick motherfucker.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's why he is this week's sick motherfucker. What else can we add to this? When was he electrocuted, my friend? Because he was.
He was electrified.
He was electrified.
In 1991. I believe it was in September.
Yes.
September 6th.
South Carolina. Wow. I mean, and I figure we have to, you know, end that segment with one of the worst crimes that I think. No, go ahead.
Before we end it, we have to talk about, you know, the contract killing in prison.
Yes, yes.
There is an individual that had robbed a convenience store.
We could do three fucking shows on this guy.
And, you know, the owners, husband and wife, he took them in the back and shot them execution style with a
shotgun,
sawed off shotgun. So
right in the head.
You know, these old people, you know, their son, you know, gets, you know, hears of Pee Wee and gets in contact with him and hires him to kill the guy that, you know, murdered his parents. And they were, you know, not cellmates, but their cells were right next to each other.
Right.
And in the documentary that I watched, Gaskin's daughter had even tried to warn them, saying, you know, I think my dad's getting ready to try to kill somebody. He's been talking to me. And they're like, there's no way that he could possibly, you know, kill somebody. He's in solitary.
Right.
So, but there's these recordings where you hear Gaskins talking with this individual and telling him
on the outside while he's on. Well, was this the time when he was on death row? Are we talking about the radio incident?
Yes, yes.
Because I believe he was even on death row. So that is pretty much solitary.
Right.
You're in your own cell. Extreme maximum at that point. And no, continue.
So he's on there. There's a recording. He's like, hey, you know, we done gave him the shit. And all it did was make him sick, you know. And
right.
It made him sick like dogs, man. Him and a couple other guys, we gave it to him. And, you know, they didn't fucking kill him, man. We're going to have to think of something else. I got an idea. He goes, I'm going to, you know, make a radio and give it to him. And, you know, I'm going to need a stick of dynamite and a cap and, you know, some... You know, we're going to, as soon as he plugs it in and puts it up to his ears, going to blow him straight into hell.
Well, and what it was supposed to be was a way for, you know, them to communicate, you know, almost like a walkie-talkie system.
Right.
And, you know, he had loaded this up. This guy got this and had some kind of detonation device because, and you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that recording because we will put this in the description so people can listen to Pee-wee, Mr. Gaskins' own words and this exact phone call that you're talking about. How does that even happen?
Like, I mean, he says that he was recording, you know, the phone call to blackmail the dude later down the road and ended up, you know, it, you know, incriminating evidence against himself. They used it against him to convict him for the murder.
Go figure.
But like we were talking, how in the hell did he get dynamite?
Right.
You know,
like, how did that make talking it in- about this? Even, you know, maybe in the early 70s or whatever, when you know, their technology wasn't what it maybe obviously is today. How do they, I know they had to have some form, some procedure to monitor these calls.
Like you're
in a federal prison at this point.
There's the phone booth there and there's your privacy.
How did they not hear him? Even though he recorded his own call, it came from a prison. How did they not know that he's asking for, you know, small amounts of dynamite to put in this guy's radio? So, and I seen the pictures of the guy after he was blown up.
I'm surprised that, you know, at the beginning of the audio tape, you didn't hear a zipper zip up and you go, all right, pay away, you got 5 minutes.
Damn. Malice went there. My goodness.
I mean, like what was going on?
And, you know, I mean, back to, you know, he was a contract killer in prison. Again, how does this kind of thing happen in prison where you are a contract killer in prison? Your killing does not stop. I thought that was what prison was for. Stick this, you know, these murderous, you know, individuals in a cage. They won't hurt anybody. Now they're killing people on the inside, you know, almost as easy as they were on the outside. And that's how sick of a motherfucker this guy was, man.
Crazy.
Absolutely crazy. Anything you want to add to this week's SMF?
Other than he was one sick motherfucker.
There you go. I don't know any other way to end that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, of course, we're going to talk a little, you know, some about... My Bloody Valentine. Valentine's Day, again, was just, you know, a few days prior to the recording of this podcast. And we thought that it would be appropriate to talk about some Valentine's Day horror movies. And there's two that obviously, well, one that really sticks out, that being My Bloody Valentine from 1981. And then there was another movie made with the same title, not part two, not this or that. kind of made it seem like it was a remake. My Bloody Valentine, another one came out 2009. We're going to talk about the differences of that right after this break. Until then, I'm Otis B. Dreads.
I'm Malice Murphy.
And we'll see you on the other side of this break. Enjoy this little ditty.
Once upon a time, on a sad Valentine, in a place known as Hanniger Mine, a legend began, every woman and man would always remember the time. And those who remained were never the same. You could see the fear in their eyes. Once every year, as the 14th draws near, there's a hush all over the town. For the legend, they say, on a Valentine's Day is a curse that'll live on and on. And no one will know, as the years come and go, of the horror from long time ago. Twenty years came and went, and everyone spent the 14th in quiet regret. And those still alive know the secret survives in the darkness that looms in the night. For the legend, they say, on a Valentine's Day is a curse that'll live on and on. And no one will know, as the years come and go, of the horror from long time ago. In this little town, when the 14th comes round, there's a silence and fear in the air. Remember the morn that the legend was born, all the shock and the horror was there. For the legend, they say, on a Valentine's Day is a curse that'll live on and on. The years come and go, of the horror from long time ago. And no one will know, as the years come and go, of the horror from long time ago.
All right, we're back. NightOfTheLivingDreads.com is where you can find us, over there on Facebook as well. Just wanted to throw this out there. Gorehounds of Horror, of course. And a new group I recently joined, After Dark. Find all of us over there on Facebook. I am Otis B. Dreads.
I am Malice Murphy.
And how'd you like that little ditty there? A little Valentine's Day song.
Definitely creepy, but I like it.
It was kind of creepy when it actually came. That was from the original 1981 soundtrack of My Bloody Valentine. Before we get into those movies, I think, as well as you think, that we need to talk a little bit about some of the dark history of Valentine's Day. It's not all cupids and hearts and love, and I mean, we're talking about beating women, and yeah, you know, I mean tell us some more, Malice.
I think it's Lupercalia.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. Yeah,
it was celebrated by the Romans during from February 13th to the 15th. It was a festival where men would sacrifice a goat and a dog, and then they would whip the women with the hides of the animals that they had just slain.
I've never tried that. Did that work?
I mean, apparently it did. I mean, they say that, you know, the Roman romantics were drunk and naked. You know, sounds like a pretty fun party.
Other than beating you with, you know, dead animal
until
hide.
Until we start sacrificing animals, and then...
Right.
It's pretty much like a big sex party. The men would, you know, draw names out of a, you know, out of a whatever the fuck they had, like a whole fucking concrete fucking pail.
The innards of the dead dog that they just sacrificed. I mean, that's nuts.
And these women would they would line up. They loved it, you know. They would expose their breast and, you
know, just so they would be picked. Like, hey, beat me, beat me.
Yeah. And it was all fertility, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They thought that made them more fertile.
And sometimes, sorry to cut you off, but sometimes, you know, if you went and beat this woman showing you, you know, her tits, and you beat them with a dead animal hide, you would court for the rest of that, the duration of that festival. Isn't that right?
Right. Or sometimes even for life.
Sometimes, yeah, they would end up getting married. And it's like, man, you got me when you beat me with that dead dog carcass. Oh, we're soulmates now.
What yeah, else I don't know, man. That's
but that, you know, that's kind of the basics of, you know, the festival that the Romans would participate in. Yeah. Which is kind of the origins of this, you know, here's some fucking candy.
Yeah, I think I'd actually probably hearts. Take the festival Lupercalia over, you know, a fucking Hallmark Valentine's Day card.
I like Henry Warden's way better, and just hit him with a fucking, you know, pickaxe. Anyway, all right, so getting into, and you mentioned, you know, during the break we were talking about this, you mentioned you're kind of a hater on both the films that we're going to kind of discuss a little bit.
Yeah.
That being, you know, My Bloody Valentine 1981 and My Bloody Valentine 2009. I personally am a fan of the 1981 version. You know, it's pretty close to the 70s. I think most people that know me over there are Gorehounds, as well as yourself. No, I'm a 70s slasher guy. I really like the 70s, you know, the way those movies were made. Last House on the Left and you know, Hills Have Eyes. I just love the way they were made. And I as I got older, I kind of started liking more and more the 80s slasher movies. When I was younger, they seemed kind of cheesy. That's what I'm getting at. But and I know that's probably how you think. Now, the 2009 version of My Bloody Valentine, I'm on the fence on. In fact, I'm almost falling off on it can go fuck itself. what's your thoughts? Why are you such a hater on actually both movies? Explain that, Malice.
I it's hard for me to honestly explain. I just really can't just get into it. I when I'm in my own insane asylum, I do a lot of movie watching by myself, so
right.
It has to really pique my interest,
sure,
for me to want to watch it and keep watching it to the end.
It makes sense. Yeah.
So I'm sitting there and, you know, like today I'm trying to watch the 2009 version and I'm about 20 minutes into the movie and I'm...
I'm not even going to lie. It was kind of hard for me as well. Okay. Because I went into it. It's been a while since I had seen it. And remembered. But I'm going into it thinking, okay, this is a remake, because there's no other, the only thing different, okay, when it comes to the title and everything, is really nothing. The only thing different is the year in which it was made. So I'm thinking it's a remake. Makes sense, right?
Right.
I mean, I'm not thinking illogical, I don't think. There's no, you know, little tagline underneath that may make you, you know, understand this isn't a remake. It's another version of the original. None of that was present in the 2009. So again, I'm going into it thinking, okay, this is a remake. When I'm sure it, you know, I mean, it's been out, I don't know exactly when that movie came out, what month. I know it's 2009, so I mean, we may be working on 9 years. I'll just say 9 years this has been out, so I don't think I need a spoiler alert right here, because if you haven't seen it, don't worry.
Yeah, definitely.
It's on Netflix, if that tells you anything. Because there's nothing but shit horror on Netflix anymore. Anyway, the opening, you know, sequence of the movie, okay, happens to be, you know, a bunch of, you know, young ones, you know, 20 some years old, maybe. Never make mention that they're actually workers in the mine like the original. But they're all partying at the mine. And all of a sudden, within like 3 minutes, and normally in movies, you know, in the horror genre, I like to see, you know, a lot of action, a lot of blood or something, you know, pretty quick. This happened so quick, I was like, they're already killing people? Almost like this shouldn't be happening. What's going on? Because the opening scene where they're partying at the mine, this is the 2009 version, by the way. Okay, just the, you know. That particular scene, you know, and what they were portraying did happen in the 1981 version. But it happened at the end of the fucking movie.
So it was backwards.
It was almost like they were recreating that, and then the movie started, you know, the 2009 version started like later. I couldn't tell if it was a remake because they were using a lot of the same scenes. The dryer scene, you remember that? In the original, it was the sheriff that, you know, is going through, is finding all these upside down hearts in the 81 version. And, you know, and he hears this clanging, he opens the dryer and, you know, he's looking for, you know, this woman, and she's already been killed and in the fucking dryer. And she's done.
Was that the laundromat, right?
The laundromat. Yeah. 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 Okay. Well, that particular scene happens, you know, in the newer version. And so they're taking scenes from the original, but it's not a remake. It can't be a fucking remake. That's all I fucking got right there. I mean, it just really, you know, kind of, you know, bothered me a little bit. I don't mind a remake if it's done in the tradition of the movie it's remaking. And if it's done, you know, well, if they, of course, there's always going to be, you know, Hollywood thrown in. Okay. I really dig Rob Zombie's Halloween because I always like a backstory to these killers.
Right.
Yeah. I'm really interested. That's why, you know, we do a lot of shit on, you know, serial killers, because we're interested in, you know, the history of these guys, you know, how they grew up and things like that. And we got that in Rob Zombie's Halloween with, you know, young Michael and how he grew up and the household he grew up in. And that was intriguing to me, and I like that. This, on the other hand, can eat a dick.
Eat a bag of dicks.
Eat a whole bag of them bastards. I did like some of the gore scenes, although I was waiting to see, like in the original, I wanted to see the pickaxe up through the throat of the guy and come out his eye. Remember that scene?
I think so.
It was a good scene. It was a good 1981, 80s, you know, gore scene. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's good shit. Didn't see that. They didn't even try to replicate that. Now, come on now. You know, I mean, you're years ahead of the original as far as technology goes. Why is this not happening? I don't know. So let's give, and I know you'll probably give like a, you know, a fuck off grade for both of them, Malice. But I'm going to, let's give some grades to these movies. Okay, these two. The 1981 version, I'm going to give a B. I really dug it. But then again, I'm an old guy, man. I'm an older guy, so, you know, I kind of like the 80s, 70s kind of horror, which you don't have to be old, I guess, to like that kind of horror. I'm not, you know, really trying to say that. So I give the 81 version a B. I give the 2009 version, this is going to be difficult. I'm going to have to, give it really a D. I'm not even going to lie, there were some parts I did like. Okay. I think you had mentioned there could have been a little more gore involved. There was more gore in the 81 version than there was, really, I think, in the 2009 version.
Right. Like, I mean, especially given it being 2009, it could have been...
way better.
Yeah, the special effects and everything, and it was...
it was... that was it. Yeah. So,
I would give them... I would give them both the same grade, which would be, I'm going to be fair, because just because it's not my cup of tea, that means it's not someone else's. So I would say they're both C's.
That's an average.
Like I was saying, it's hard for me to watch a movie by myself if I'm not into it. Like if I watch it with a group of people or something.
It's different?
Yeah, it's different. It's really? Easier How to watch it. It's easier to watch a movie even if it's shitty with a group of people. Than it is to watch it by myself.
Why is that?
I don't know. I have no clue. Maybe it's the drugs.
Oh, man, because it couldn't be the people. Oh, man.
No, it would definitely be the people. You keep each other up.
Well, absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, keep each other up.
Not losing interest or passing out.
Sure.
Unless you do too much drugs. then everybody's passing out.
Then everybody's passed out, and you're stuck with a movie you think is shit. Well, I don't know how much longer this can go on. All right, so you gave them both a C.
Yeah.
That's pretty fair, I guess.
I really don't know how much I can grade them since I can't even, I didn't watch either of them in their entirety this
really?
Past week, yeah.
Really?
I tried, I gave it my best shot, and it didn't work.
Folks, I just want to let all of you know that this is how much half of the Night of Living Dreads podcast reacts to me when I mention My Bloody Valentine. Malice watches neither. And knowing we're going to talk about it, he's like, ah, man, fuck it. I was just bored the shit out of me. No idea. I just, by myself watching movies, playing with my little tallywhacker, and fell asleep. And, when it comes to the SMF, this guy's like a 15-year-old scammering, to get a book report together during the break. This guy over here, man. All right. Malice, anything else you want to bring up? This is probably not going to be our, entire, hour, but hey, it's our podcast. We can do it however long we want. What else you want to talk about, my friend?
I'm at a loss for words.
No, well, that signifies the end of this show. All right, I want to thank everybody. Yes, this isn't normally, some shows we go an hour and a half. Some shows we go 50 minutes. Some shows we go 45 minutes. Some shows, we did a half an hour show or some shit like that back in that undisclosed location in northern Ohio up by Honohoochee.
Yeah.
A little
in
bit
the state park.
State park.
That was an interesting weekend.
That was. Hey, and we recorded that.
We were supposed to be at fucking Louder in Life.
We weren't. That is a metal festival. I know a lot of you gore hounds, a lot of people that like horror like metal, and this is one of the festivals we go to every year. Unfortunately, last year it got rained out. Weather just, you know, Mother Nature just, you know, put a strap on and turned around, fucked everyone.
Yeah, that and apparently the festival site was turned into a park that was built on top of a landfill.
Yeah.
And a cap got busted open from it being flooded. And apparently that was the main reason there was toxic waste.
Interesting.
Being exposed. And thankfully they moved the location.
And here the whole time, 2 years ago, I thought I farted.
A fart stuck in your pants all day.
All weekend. I'm like, man, is this thing ever going to leave me? Does everybody smell me? Why are people looking at me funny? Because you got a Batman mask on. You're dancing around like a fool.
Batman with dreads.
Right. It's all I heard. But, yeah, I don't know where. Yeah, you know, they are doing it this year. If you guys are into metal and maybe you're in the Kentucky area.
Of Louisville.
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 Louisville. Hey, we'll even put the link for that if you guys are interested. There's no lineup yet, but it is so far going on. This is down the road a little bit, folks. This is in September.
3 day festival.
3 day festival. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. All music, bourbon. Yeah. I mean,
I can't fucking wait.
it is awesome. They have gourmet man food. This would be, you know, a really cool time to hang out with some, you know, fellow hounds down there. So any hounds in the Ohio, Louisville, even if you're not there, we met people that flew in from out of state.
There's people that fly in from, you know, out the country.
Yeah, yeah. Met a couple of those, absolutely. Big festival. Good time. Good time. So, I don't know where I was going with that, except to the end of the road. That's going to do it, folks. Thank you again for listening to episode 21. The Night of Living Dreads podcast. Again, don't forget to check us out over there at nightoflivingdreads.com. Night of Living Dreads over there on Facebook. And, of course, our good friends, Gore Hounds of Horror, over there on Facebook. Great bunch of people. Private group. Answers three simple questions, man. And don't be a dick. You know, or don't be an attention whore. You know, don't do nothing stupid. This is a fun, whore loving group, man.
Don't make the list.
Don't make one of our mods, Chad, put you on the list, because it will happen with a quickness. Because this is the best damn horror group on Facebook. So go over there and check them out. And then again, I want to throw out, man. I just recently, Gorehounds and this other Facebook group, After Dark, again, another all-horror group, has been, you know, we got a little share thing going on, you know, once a week, members from there over here, and you know, vice versa. I just joined over there, checking the group out, so I want to give a shout-out to them as well. Hey, for Night of the Living Dreads, I am Otis B. Dreads.
I am Alex Murphy.
And we bid you guys a good week. We'll talk to you here real soon. We're out.
No one knows. We're going to die.